and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Why do we worship? What is worship? Stephen Newman is the author of Experiencing Worship, a study of biblical worship. He's also the founder and editor of experiencingworship.com. Steve currently serves as pastor of worship at Kalihi Union Church here in Hawaii. He has extensive experience in both traditional and contemporary worship styles and has been serving in music and worship capacities since 1982. And we pause for a moment and remind you why we have the Good Life radio program. When we talk about worship, we're talking about intimacy with God. We talk about relationship with God. And Steve, of course, he's going to explain so much more, so much more. But dear friend, do you have a relationship with God? Have you experienced what that means, what that's like? Do you know that God loves you so much that no matter what you've done, where you've been, where you've gone, Christ died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. Dear friend, today, the living Christ calls you to himself, even through a time with Stephen Newman, the Lord, we believe, will speak to you and is drawing you closer and closer. So, would you open your heart to Jesus? Would you surrender your life to him? Would you receive him as your Savior and Lord? Oh, I hope so. I hope so. You know, Steve Newman was raised in Honolulu, Hawaii, earned a Bachelor of Music degree with an emphasis in church music from Oklahoma Baptist University. He has also earned his Master's of Worship Ministry and a Doctorate of Worship Ministry from Christian Leadership University in Elma, New York. Steve, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Aloha.
Okay, I mentioned raised in Honolulu, Hawaii, but now we need to go deeper. Where in Hawaii, where did you grow up?
Well, I was born back in 19... No, okay, I won't go there. I was born, I was born in Ewa Beach. Mm-hmm. My dad was the pastor there. They got called to Hawaii back in 1961. And from there, they stayed there, I think, about 6 years. And then he got called to Hawaii Kai Baptist Church, where he ended up staying till he retired. So I have two homes on the island. I remember Ewa Beach when it was cane fields. And then Hawaii Kai is where they now live. So,
who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, my dad, probably the most very soft-spoken man who loved God, who followed God. Their story of how they came to Hawaii was beyond anything I've ever heard. It's an amazing story. But he was a model. He modeled to me what it meant to be a dad, to be a husband, and to be a Christian. Watching him love God, love his family, love his wife, love people. There's probably not, I don't know anybody on the planet that loves people more than my parents. Mm-hmm. But they, and even my mom, she always said, Stephen, she calls me Steve, and everybody else calls me Steve. She says, Steven, if you want to succeed or to be, I don't like that word, succeed, but if you want to do well in ministry, just love the people. And so that was a huge thing that I've taken away that I've practiced. And, you know, God has honored it. And, you know, that's what ministry is about, loving the people wherever they're at. But there was another man named Asa Yoshimoto who was my basketball teacher. It was kind of church leagues. And he was a guy who, I was a rascal. I know you cannot believe that, but I was a typical Hawaii PK, pastor's kid.
A little kalohi.
Maybe a lot. But no, and Asa was one of those guys who didn't give up on me. And so when I would not come to church or stray, he always would love me. And he would taught me to torch. He taught me, he would take me torching. He taught me how to throw a net. He taught me how to fish. So he was kind of my second dad in a lot of ways. He gave me many, many, many opportunities to just be a young man growing up in Hawaii, being, you know, Caucasian. But yeah, he was an awesome guy. He's probably one of my non-family mentors.
Steve, what do you mean by torch?
Torching, where you walk across the reef with a spear and a lantern in your hand and you torch spearfish.
Thank you.
Torching, sorry.
Mahalo.
How did you become a Christian?
You know, growing up in a church, I heard the gospel probably since I was born. I mean, I'm sure I did. I didn't pay much attention because, again, rascal looking to have fun. I was out at Pu'ukahea one year, I remember. We used to go out there every year for when I was in high school, from high school on. And as my freshman year, I remember, you know, hearing the gospel all these years. And then finally one night, you know, around the campfire, God just took hold of my heart. And he said, you know what? He says, you know about me, you know. He says, and he was just drawing me to himself. And so right there, I said, you know what? I want to receive Christ as my Savior. And it was amazing, you know how the feelings you get, you know, when you become a Christian for the first time, and it was just the sense of joy and all that that entails in that new walk was amazing. But over the next year, it began to fade, and as the flesh took over and began to go back to the old life, I'll never forget when I was 18, I was getting ready to go to college. And sitting on the steps of one of my teachers at his house. And I said, you know what, God, I made you my Savior, but I've never made you my Lord. And I've never committed myself to you. And so from that point, that was the transition point in a sense. I always say I have two experiences in my salvation. One was receiving him as Savior, and the other was when I said, okay, I'm gonna make you Lord of my life. Wow. Yeah.
What difference?
Yeah.
What difference is your relationship with Christ made in your life?
Yes.
That's a question.
Oh. I'm sorry, I missed that.
He wants to know what difference decision has made.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, it was kind of the start of that whole journey of letting go of self, of seeking self, of I'm in control of my life. I want to pilot my life. And then it probably 10 years later is when it kind of even took that long to even unravel to the point where I said, you know what, God, I'm still working on this. And what I was talking about earlier about being able to actually just trust him for everything, rely on him for everything, and in everything I do to walk with him in that. So, yeah, God has done some amazing things just because of a simple act of surrender, of saying, I want to make you Lord.
Mm-hmm. When you went off to college, was it a Christian college?
Yes, it was a Baptist college.
So did that help with this decision before you left?
It did. It was interesting because this is one of the funnier things of my stories. People would always ask me, hey, are you going to be a pastor like your dad? And I said, no way. I've been part of the church for the past 18 years that I have no desire for that. Well, my first semester, I'm sitting on my dorm room bed having my devotional time, and this overwhelming sense of God's presence like I've never experienced in my life came over me and said, you know what, this is what I've called you to do. And that's when I said, ah, and that's when I surrendered to do what I do now. Most amazing. Still, it's what's kept me going through all these years, even when sometimes I wanted to say, you know what, I'm done. But that calling is so deep. And yeah.
It was almost a physical calling.
Yeah, it was.
It was that deep.
It was powerful, yeah. It was very powerful. The most powerful experience I've had as a Christian. And yeah. So that's what, again, is what's sustained me all these years and keeps me focused, I guess, on what he's called me to do. It's easy to get distracted.
Do you come back to that from time to time?
Yes.
In some rough spots, kind of remember,
yes,
you know, going back to those touch points,
yes,
what God did?
Very much so. There has been many instances over the last 20 years where I've said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't enjoy this anymore. I want to do something else. And so I'd start looking and think, what could I do? What else can I do? And it always comes back to this. And it's frustrating, but yet there's peace there. And I can't explain that. But yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's an anchor.
It's a total anchor, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stephen Newman writes the book Experiencing Worship. He's the author of the book Experiencing Worship. You can find out more about the book Experiencing Worship at experiencingworship.com. So him being the author of that book, well, of course, when we come back, we're going to talk about worship. And I'm eager to hear what Steve has to say and how the Lord has led him through the process of writing that book, which has really received a global reception through the years. Many churches have wanted it and used it, needed access to it, and gained access to it. And you can rest assured that the Lord has worked through that book to enhance, enliven, deepen people's understanding of worship. And we will experience some of that, at least a little, with Steve Newman when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling,
to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Steve Newman writes in his book, the book Experiencing Worship, he writes, the need, quote, the need or desire to worship is born in every person. It's not something that is taught or developed. It's created within us to do. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Our guest today, Steve Newman. Yeah, the author of Experiencing Worship. You can find out more about him and his ministry at experiencingworship.com. Steve, why do we worship?
Why do we worship, or why should we worship?
Why?
No. We worship. That's a great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that question. Why do we worship? We worship something. What's been born inside of us, which is what God had intended for us to do, was to be worshipers of Him, to have fellowship with Him. And so if you look at every tribe around the world throughout history, they've all worshiped something. There was either a god they created, the sun, the moon. God just put that in us to worship. Mm-hmm. Now, why we worship God, that's a difficult question, because I always look at, my mind goes to, we should worship God, or we need to worship God more than why do we do it. For me, I do it because out of a grateful heart for all He's done. I worship Him because John 3:16, one of my favorite verses, which is the most basic of all, which I still cannot get my head around, how God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Wow. Mm-hmm. That all I have to do is believe. Mm-hmm. That I would not perish but have everlasting life. For God to do that is enough for me, enough why to worship, why I worship Him. But more than that, He's deserving of it. The Bible all throughout tells us to worship the Lord, to sing praises to Him. It says to use our hands to clap. You know, the one of the most interesting stories of all time is David, who was the only person that God said is a man after my own heart, was the one who danced in his underwear before the Lord.
What is worship,
Steve? What is worship? For me, if I was to define it in one sentence, worship is being obedient to God and all He's called us to do and who we are to be. So I don't, my definition or my of worship towards the end of the book kind of came a little bit later, and it stems from being obedient to God. I cannot be a worshiper if I'm not obedient to God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's...
Explain that further. Why?
Because if God is calling me to do something and I do not do it, then I'm being rebellious, and I cannot worship through a heart of rebellion. If He is asking me to love my neighbor, the Bible says throughout, love your neighbor as you, the two greatest commandments, love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If I cannot do those things, then I'm being disobedient to His design for me. So how can I worship God that way?
Now, how did you, Steve Newman, as a Christian, how did you become so focused and encapsulated by the subject and the transformational experience of worship?
That's a great question. You know, I grew up in a Baptist church that was, we sang, and all my years throughout in church up until I kind of finally realized what worship was, and that it was more than just singing. It was more than just the music that happened on Sunday morning. That's, I'll never forget, it was in 1995 when I, the stirring in my spirit of not wanting to be a music director anymore, but wanting to be a worship leader. Because what I had done prior to that was I would just get up and lead a couple of songs and, you know, smile and say, this is great. And you know, people were, that was worship to them. And I still struggle with and this is being probably brutally honest, but I still judge people from where I'm at, which I don't mean to, but I still do when I see them, if they're just standing there with their arms closed. I struggle with that. But because the Bible says, you know, to with everything that is in us, to worship Him. And so to come and sit in a pew when you're singing, I stand amazed in the presence, just I just don't get it. But getting back to 1995, kind of a stirring in my soul of God just saying, you know what, I mean for our times of corporate worship to be different. This is really not what I designed it to be, to put on a good show every Sunday so people could walk away feeling good about themselves. What I wanted to do was to create environments within the Sunday morning experience that gave people an opportunity to respond to God through singing, to respond to God through prayer and scripture and creative elements, not for show purposes, but for them to be able to truly worship with everything that they have and are to Him through these elements. Worship is way more than that Sunday morning experience for me. And so it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of obedience. That's my definition. And if I'm not doing it, then I don't know that I can call myself a true worshiper who worships in spirit and truth.
Now, how did the Lord inspire you, give you the idea, and take you through the process of writing the book?
That's good.
Experiencing Worship.
Well, you know, as I shared earlier, I am not an English major by any means. And anybody who knows me, when they find out that that I wrote this so almost 20 years ago, they go, what? Steve? And but it was, the inspiration was, I was in a church in New Mexico. There were very little resources to teach people, at least where I thought and what my understanding of biblical worship was. So after reading numerous books on worship, and after attending many conferences over the years, and just getting all I could on what is this thing called worship, and how does it fit in our lives, and how does it fit in this role, I put together a 5-week study for my own team there in New Mexico. I put together it was a very rough draft for them to go through so that they could be on the same page with me as I was attempting to lead that ministry. Well, the website got started back in 1997, very rough too. I designed it myself, uploaded all the content, recruited all the other authors, which we have some pretty neat and amazing contributors that we call them. And God just took it from there. A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, Scott Boyer, he came to me one day and said, hey, how can I help get this site out to more people? And he had done very well in the internet world back then. And so he designed a site for me, which is what we have now. It's a very sophisticated in a lot of ways, but our goal was to reach the nations for the message of worship.
Steve, I have a wonderful friend who wrote a book, not expecting it to be published. Mm-hmm. He actually wrote it for his children, and it literally has sold millions of copies. And I asked him once, what were you experiencing as you were writing this book? And he said, honestly, time and again, I just leaned back and was in amazement of what God was typing through my fingers. And I feel like your book was a similar experience. Would that be fair?
That would be very fair to say, yeah. Again, English was not my strength, and just even how to put all that together. I'm a tool for God, you know, and to me, music is a tool for worship. That's my tool to mm-hmm. help lead the body in that one aspect on Sunday morning. So, yeah, it's all Him. It all came from Him, and I sit back and I'm amazed that He would choose to use it in so many places that He has. Because I just wanted the church and young worship leaders to have a tool to say, hey, we want to teach our people what worship is, but we don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And so that was the main motivation, was to get it to as many as we could through the venues that we have.
Yeah. Incredible.
Well, when we come back, I know there are several questions that you go through in the study of the book. When we come back, I'd like to know what the difference is. Because one question is, what is worship? And another question is, what is praise? Mm-hmm. So someone might say, well, I thought it was the same thing. I suppose by the separate questions that there may be more of a distinction. But when we come back, I'd like to talk about that. And, well, how important actually is worship? You know, and of course, the significance of when we're there going, you know, all out for the Lord because we're in His presence. Sadly to say, Steve, there have been times when I might have had my hands in my pocket or my arms crossed.
Oh, Danny.
Brother, I need grace.
Oh, I know.
When we come back, more with Steve Newman. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Someone grows up in church. His dad is a pastor, a very, very highly respected pastor at that, in the state of Hawaii and beyond. And so a child grows and comes to know Christ. And when he comes to know Christ, over the course of time, the Lord works in his heart. And he has a special calling in the ministry of worship. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about our guest today, Steve Newman, his father, Ken Newman, man greatly respected. Steve shares because he's written a book called Experiencing Worship. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and we're thankful that you're with us today. Hey, look, if you want to find out more about our program, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. If you'd like to hear this program, you can get it in its entirety for free as a free podcast. That and other resources at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out more about Steve, experiencingworship.com. Steve, you wrote in your book, Experiencing Worship, Discover the Very Thing Which God Created Us to Experience for His Glory. You wrote, worship is what comes out of a realization of who God is mm-hmm. and what he means to us personally. Mm-hmm. Now, as a person grows in their relationship with God, how do you see worship being integrated in that realization and worship, the worship experiencing changing, mm-hmm. worship experience changing?
Mm-hmm. That's good. I feel like I need to go back and hit my original definition because I don't like to get focused in the tunnel of worship being just a emotional response or a time on Sundays. For me, it's when I'm watching my kids play out in the front yard, I'm worshiping God by saying, God, wow, how amazing. Or I'm at the beach and I'm looking at his creation. I'm going, wow, God, that you are amazing. Those are sometimes more powerful worship moments than what I do sitting or singing and leading worship on Sundays. But for me, some of my best worship was probably when I was first saved, when I finally realized the grace that God had given me. I remember driving home from Pukekahe in my car, just singing at the top of my lungs, worshiping him, crying with shedding tears because I had realized, at least what I could back then, of the grace that he has given me through his son, Jesus. And so I think for me, it can be a laborious thing at times, probably not the right word, but worship is not always just feely good. I mean, the Bible says to give a sacrifice of praise. That means that it doesn't always, it's like prayer. We don't always want to pray, but we need to pray. We don't always want to worship, but we need to worship because God is worthy of it first off. You look in Revelation where it says that the four living creatures, they sit before the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. They do that 24/7 forever. That's all they do. And so for me, trying to get myself to that place of, through my journey of giving him worship in everything that I do, that's...
Steve, is there a difference between worship and praise? And if so, how would mm-hmm. you define that?
That's a good question, yeah. You know, I still, even now, struggle with that. Worship to me is kind of the big picture, so to speak. It's kind of the umbrella of everything. That's how I define worship. It's again, being obedient to God in everything that I do. So it's not just sitting on my knees with my hands raised and singing to him, that is worship, but it's everything that I do.
So worship is a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. Praise, on the other hand, is in a sense a tool to worship. So, mm-hmm. by praising God. I mean, I don't know if you know, but Judah, the tribe of Judah, mm-hmm. the one which Jesus came from, what does Judah mean? Praise. Mm. So Jesus comes out of a tribe that God had named Praise. It's pretty important that we use that tool of praise, even in spiritual warfare, in everything that we do. I mean, when I'm down, all I have to do is praise God, start praising the Lord and singing, and His Spirit comes over me. It's powerful. Praise is powerful.
Why is praise so powerful in spiritual warfare?
That's a good...
It is.
Because I think the devil hates it. And he does not like it, and it exalts God, and it's telling him that, hey, no, I'm praising the one true creator, the only God, and I think he doesn't like it.
Would you agree it defeats him in that moment?
I would believe it does, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's defeated in that.
Now, have you experienced, I'm thinking of someone who, I mean, this is a practical moment where, and so I'm going to ask it, and then I mm-hmm. think embedded in the question, possibly even in the answer, there may be an admonition or possibly might be inspirational for someone to do this. But have you ever been down or struggling with something or even emotionally, but you start praising and then mm-hmm. begin to change, your mm-hmm. feelings change or something yeah. changes? Have you experienced that?
Yes, I have. Yeah, definitely.
What happens in that process? So describe for us what's taking place when that happens.
I think in my experience is it's been basically taking the focus off me and the woe is me and whatever situation I'm going through, and realizing that, you know, God is bigger. And when I turn my focus from me to Him, that the cares, His Spirit, all the things that I was struggling with perhaps just seem to kind of fade away. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, I mean, all the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And that's the power of praise.
Well, I think, Suzanne, Steve, even as we together were talking, well, there's really our listeners with us mm-hmm. and they're hearing this, but maybe our dear friend is going through a time right now, but there can be a change mm-hmm. from within if they begin to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. So when you don't feel like it, mm-hmm. maybe that's the crux of it. When you don't feel like it, mm-hmm. when your situation is completely opposite of what would generate a sense or a feeling to praise, what gets one to do that, and what could possibly be expected when that happens, when one starts to praise?
Yeah, like I said, I think it is taking my eyes off of myself. It's pointing them to Jesus and to God and to giving Him the glory. Mm. And I mean, for me, that's what I've experienced personally. Yeah.
Suzanne?
Oh, Danny, I just sent you a text. It's good. I hope it's all right that I share this, but I feel that praise is so powerful mm-hmm. that I have explained to my husband and my family that were I to be hospitalized or in a situation where I couldn't speak, please, please play praise music mm-hmm. 24/7 mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that I can hear it. Because I just think it's that powerful mm-hmm. and that important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Music is a powerful tool. It is a powerful tool.
Well, so today, you know, you're hearing Steve, you're hearing Suzanne. It might be just starting off with something very simple. Like, and again, you might not even feel like doing it. So mm-hmm. this is contrary to your feelings. You're not following your feelings. You're just going by faith. And just, for example, I mean, Steve could say something, Suzanne could say something, but it would just be as simple as, praise you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise
mm-hmm.
you, God.
Mm-hmm.
I honor you, God. Words that are void of feeling even at that moment. But try that. Try that. And as you do, see what begins to happen in your heart. See what is triggered over the course of time. And of course, it may happen sooner than later, or it may take a little time, but just beginning to utter the name of Christ and praise the name of Jesus and blessing the name of the Lord. And try that, even in the midst of what financial difficulty right now, maybe the a child. Hey, we all go through that. We all go through those things. You're not alone, but try that. Steve, when we talk about praise and worship, would you say that worship is the most important thing a Christian can do?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, now hold off on that, because we'll come back to it. Someone might be listening and saying, wait a minute, Steve Newman. What do you mean worship is the most important thing a Christian can do? I thought there was something else that was important for the Christian to do. Maybe you can fill in the blank. Maybe someone might say, well, I thought it was evangelism or something else. But when we come back, well, let's listen to Steve. Let's listen to what the Lord has to say through him, because we can learn from this man. We can learn from this man of God. And the Lord has something to share with us that will open our heart. Let's open our heart. Let's open our mind to what the Lord is doing. And let's go deeper into worship. Hey, I'm learning a lot. And of course, in this learning, not just cerebral learning, I think the Lord is moving in my heart. Is he moving in your heart? I hope so. In fact, you know what? I believe he's moving through this program in our midst, where you are, where we are right now. And there's more to come from Steve Newman. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're listening.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
All right, here's the question. Why would someone say that worship is the most important thing a Christian can do? Now, before you retort and say, wait a minute, I think something else is more important, let's give Pastor Steve Newman, let's give him his say. Let's give him his chance and really hear what he has to say about that. Let's come in with an open mind and open heart. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. You know what? It takes courage to make a point. It takes courage to have a conviction. Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Suzanne Maher, my co-host. Pastor Steve Newman is the author of the book, Experiencing Worship, Discover the Very Thing Which God Created Us to Experience for His Glory. He's also the pastor of worship at Kalihi Union Church with Pastor Jonathan Steeper. Well, Steve, go for it, dear brother.
All right. Well, I've heard the argument that our main purpose on this earth is to go ye therefore into all the world preaching the good news. I get that. And that was Jesus' last words, right? For us to do that. I totally get that. But when I go back and I look at the beginning, why did He create us? Why did God create us? And it was to have fellowship with Him and to worship Him. Mm. And true, I have to be saved to do that. So I think they go hand in hand. And by being a worshiper, being the most important thing, if I am a true worshiper, then I'm going to be an evangelist. Right? So, in my worship, if I was just an evangelist and not a worshiper, make sense? Okay. So, that's my Cliff Note version of that. Yeah. God created us for this very purpose, to bring Him glory, and that is it. So, everything that we do, we point to Him to bring Him glory. That is worship.
So, what I hear is, one who is a worshiper, one who worships God in spirit and truth, mm-hmm. one who's intimate with God, one who's obedient to God, then organically evangelism flows out of
exactly.
his or her life.
Exactly.
It flows, evangelism flows naturally out of the life of a worshiper.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well put.
Well, then we should be more worshipful. Mm-hmm. We should live lives of worship.
And
you know, as you think about it, you studied this in depth, theologically, a biblical perspective. I mean, give us a little more than the Cliff Note version. How does a worshipful life influence the impact of evangelism?
I think, again, coming back to the simplicity of being obedient to God is, for me, the foundation of worship. So if God is telling me to love my neighbor with the purpose of showing them Christ and hopefully them coming to Christ, if I don't do that, then I cannot call myself a worshiper. But if I am worshiping through that process and I'm praying for them and I'm giving God the glory and all the answers that He does, then I believe that evangelism will take place. Here's the thing about evangelism for me. I'm just to be obedient. I cannot make anyone come to Christ. Nothing I do, I cannot convince them. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that causes someone to come to Christ. And so the more I worship, the more I rely on God's power, the more I pray, the more I surrender everything to Him, I believe the more He will use me. And the more I continue to pray and continue to pray and say, you know, God, I'm going to be like that. Oh, my mind's going blank. the lady who kept after him. And finally she said, okay. He says, okay, you know, yeah, I give up being persistent in prayer. And so, but yeah, so that's how evangelism to me comes out of being a worshiper. Mm-hmm. Was that helping answer your question?
Yes, yes. How has the Lord helped you? And this may be part of it too, because we're talking about a mm-hmm. life of worship,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
You know, I'm a broken person. He has helped me just to daily to wake up and to rely on Him for everything, to go to His Word and to respond in obedience and not just read them. And even though you struggle, you wake up the next day, you read the passage again, you say, okay, you know, God, I'm giving it all to you. So for me, yeah, it's total surrender. Total surrender.
What's your favorite scripture?
Well, John 3:16 is basic and boring it as it is for the world, it seems like it. It's still the power of grace. I still cannot fathom sometimes how, you know, I look at my own son, I don't think I would give him up for anybody. Mm-hmm. But yet God gave His one and only Son to us so that we might be saved. And we don't have to do anything for it. Just believe, to have faith in God, to trust in Him, and then in turn to be the worshiper He's called me to be after that. But yeah, the simple, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That grace is something I've been walking through for 15 years and still struggle with it. God can't be that good.
If in your moment, Steve, a moment of obedience, mm-hmm. let's say the Spirit of God prompts you,
mm-hmm.
and you know it,
mm-hmm.
and this now will be an act of worship, because mm-hmm. it's an act of obedience, right?
Yes.
Someone prompts you to share with someone who's mm-hmm. going through a really rough time.
Exactly.
Broken. They are broken. What do you believe the Lord would want to say through you?
To encourage them.
And let's say they're not a Christian.
They're not a Christian, and they're going mm-hmm. through something mm-hmm.
yes.
difficult as my act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think God's given me an ear of listening and compassion, and not try to come away with all the answers for them,
mm-hmm.
but to merely share stories of how good God has been to me and how He can be good to you if you will just trust Him, if you will just place your life in His hands and develop a life of worship to Him, how He can change who you are, and He can change everything that you are and what He's called you to be and who He's designed you to be a worshiper of God.
Tell us a little about your family, Steve.
Family. I have three children. My wife, Lisa, we've been married for 27 years. I have a 20-year-old daughter. Should I say where she's going to school?
Sure.
Okay, she goes to the University of Texas in Austin. I have a 22-year-old son. His name's Jordan. My daughter's Danae, the younger one. Jordan is 22 years old. He'll be 23 here in a couple of weeks. He's studying music and digital audio and media at Collins College in Dallas, Texas. And then I have a 31-year-old daughter who is married, living in Grand Prairie, Texas. Her husband is a police officer and two grandkids. It's two granddaughters. Granddaughters, yeah.
Steve, a closing prayer.
Mm.
A closing prayer for, as a family man, you know what it's like in family life. Sometimes things can be a bit off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who doesn't know Christ, mm-hmm. we want them to know what the difference Christ mm-hmm. can make as they surrender to Him. For mm-hmm. someone who knows the Lord already, an act of obedience, a moment of obedience,
mm-hmm.
worship. Could you lead in a prayer?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your brother.
Father, it is by Your grace that we can even sit here today to proclaim who You are and how good You are. and that only you are worthy of our worship. And Father, we just come before you with great thanksgiving for your goodness. And Father, for each of us who week in and week out try to live for you, Father, I pray that your grace would fall on us. Father, that when things get difficult and when times get hard, that we would turn to you and that we would worship you, Father, through sacrifices of praise to bring you glory, Father, that is our end purpose, is to bring you glory in all things that we do. And so, God, I pray that for all who are listening, that your Spirit would be very close, Father, that you would draw them to yourself, and that they may too, Father, each person that's listening, Father, would be able to one day worship you in spirit and truth, for those are the worshipers that you seek. And so, God, we give this to you, and this is our prayer in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear Steve, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you for sharing and speaking with depth, a little more greater depth on worship. We appreciate you so much. Dear one, I ask, have you been blessed by the sharing of Steve Newman? You can find out more about him and get his book, Experiencing Worship, at experiencingworship.com. I certainly have been blessed. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. If you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. That's our hope for you. That's our prayer. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click and get to know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, again, thegoodlifehawaii.com, and click Partners. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Steve Newman. Again, experiencingworship.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.